Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 24th chapter, verses 70 through 79, chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva. Verse 70. Tame Bhatmanam Atmastam Sagapurte Shivastitam Pujaya Tvam Vinantascha Jayantascha Sakrit Harim. Translation. Therefore, O sons of the King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is situated in everyone's heart. He is also within your hearts. Therefore, chant the glories of the Lord and always meditate upon Him continually. So Lord Shiva has concluded his prayers. Yesterday we heard Lord Shiva's description of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Actually, the order he gave was Brahman, Bhagavan, and Paramatma, Antaryami. So what was the quality of Brahman that Adipurush Prabhu gave us from the Acharya's commentary, Jiva Goswami's commentary? Yes. Difficult to understand. Durbodha. Durbodha. What was the quality of Bhagavan? Which... Duraratya. Duraratya. Very difficult to worship. That was a quality of Bhagavan. And what was the quality of Paramatma Antaryami, which we heard? Hard to control. Durvasha. Durvasha. And the quality of time, kala. Intolerable. We cannot tolerate time. Yes, du saha. So these were the conclusions of the prayers of Lord Shiva. Of course, we heard about Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan also in the beginning of his prayers. We heard many beautiful things. And also in the middle, we heard about Bhagavan, especially Lord Shri Krishna, about his quality of duraratya. So finally, he gave some instructions here, final instructions to the Pachetas. In verse 69, he told them, just execute your occupational duty as kings with a pure heart, chant this prayer, and that will bring you good fortune. So do your duty and fix your mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. So today, he says, therefore, the Lord is in everyone's heart. He is also in your heart. So therefore, you should always chant the glories of the Lord and meditate upon Him continually. And this will free you from all fear. The last thing, the conclusion of his prayer was even how he himself, as Rudra, is afraid of Rudra. And the qualities of time, how time destroys everything, just like the wind, throws particles of dust into the air. So, in the purport, paragraph 1, Srila Prabhupada picks out one of the Sanskrit words here, asakrit. What does asakrit mean? Continuously, yes, continuously. So, asakrit. The word asakrit is significant, for it means not just for a few minutes, but continuously. That is the instruction given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Shikshastika. Kirtaniya Sitahari. Holy name of the Lord should be chanted 24 hours daily. Therefore, in this Krishna consciousness movement, we request the devotees to chant at least 16 rounds on their beads daily. Actually, one has to chant 24 hours daily, just like Thakur Haridas, who is chanting the Hare Krishna mantra 300,000 times daily. So since the time that Srila Prabhupada has left, sometimes I hear devotees saying, oh, we're not supposed to chant any more than 16 rounds. In fact, somebody told me in Bombay they were giving a course on Vaishnava Sadachar. And they said, not less, not more than 16 rounds you should chant. So this is not true. In most of the initiation letters that Srila Prabhupada wrote, in my letter as well, he wrote, chant at least 16 rounds. Which means you can chant more, but don't chant less. Now, this is actually the instruction of Srila Prabhupada. And here he says, we request to chant at least 16 rounds. Actually, one has to chant 24 hours daily. 24 hours daily. just like Thakur Haridas, who is chanting Hare Krishna mantra 300,000 times daily. Indeed, he had no other business. Some of the Goswamis, like Raghunath Das Goswami, were also chanting very rigidly and also offering obeisances very rigidly. As stated in Srinivasacharya's prayer to the six Goswami, Sad Goshamastika. Sankhya Purvakana Magana Nativi Kala Sanikita. The word Sankhya Purvaka means maintaining a numerical strength. Not only was Raghunath Das Goswami chanting the holy name of the Lord, but he was also offering obeisances in the same prolific numbers. Does anybody know how many obeisances Raghunath Das Goswami was offering? 3,000 every day to the different Vaishnavas. Raghunath Das Goswami, 3,000 obeisances. And how many do we offer every day? I don't know. At 10? 10 at the most? So where is our devotion? We cannot compare to these wonderful devotees here. It's a good thing Prabhupada didn't say at least 20 obeisances a day. Because when you get old, you can't even get down anymore. Anyway, he knew all we could do is chant Hare Krishna. That's our only qualification in this age of Kali. So the word Sankhya Purvaka means maintaining a numerical strength. So this is our strength, strength in numbers, quantity of chanting, that is our strength. Not only, oh yes, we said that, Raghunath Das was chanting the holy name, he was also offering obeisances. So down to paragraph 3, the words Atmanam, Atmastam, Sarva, Bhutesh, Vavastitam are also significant. The personality of Godhead is the origin of all living entities. Because the living entities are parts and parcels of the Lord, he is the father of all of them. One can search out the Supreme Lord very easily within one's heart, for he is situated in every living entity's heart. Very easily. Is it very easy to find the Lord in the heart? What does Prabhupada mean here? You can search out the Lord very easily in the heart. Very easily. Who find? Anybody find it easy to find the Lord in the heart? Not me, huh? If we are pure. If we are sincere. If we are pure. If only I was sincere and pure, then I could very easily find the Lord in the heart. Yes. Okay. Now you got it. It's very easy to search the Lord within one's heart. Very good. So all of us can do that. We can all search out the Lord in the heart. And that is what the Chatushloki says. Which verse of the Chatushloki confirms? Eta vad ivajigyasya. Is that what it says? Last one, yes. Tatva jigyasuna. I think. Anyway. There we go. Second canto was how many years ago? Two years ago. And our memory is there. Eta vad eva jigyasam tatva jigyasatmanam anvayad vyatarika byam yatarika byam yat syat sarvatra sarvada. There it goes. There it comes. Between all 10 of us, we can remember the Chatushloki Bhagavatam. That's a hard one. And that's what we're supposed to do every time and everywhere, so it's a good one to remember. We should always be searching out Krishna within the heart and everywhere and every time. So how to do this? Prabhupada is telling us how it's easy now. We'll hear how it's very easy. In this verse, the process of worshipping the Lord is considered to be very easy and complete, for anyone can sit down anywhere and at any condition of life and simply chant the holy names of the Lord. By chanting and hearing, one automatically engages in meditation. So there you have it. Chanting makes it easy. Anytime, anywhere. What are some verses or that state, that support, that we should chant Hare Krishna continuously? Satatam kirtayanto mam Bhagavad Gita. Satatam means always. Satatam kirtayanto mam. Harinam anukirtanam. Hari Nam Anukirtanam, second canto, yes? Hari Nam Anukirtanam. 2.1.11. Eta Nirvidimananam Ichitam Kutobayam. Yoginam Nipanirnitam Hari Nam Anukirtanam. Always chant the holy name of the Lord. And what, any more verses? Chanarapi Sunichena? Yes. Kirtaniyat Sadahari. There's another verse in first canto, fifth chapter, verse 36. Kurvana yatcha karmani bhagavachi kshayasakri kvinanti gunanamani krishnasya nusmaranti cha. While performing duties according to the order of Shri Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, one constantly remembers him, his names, and his qualities. So this is spoken by Narada Muni, 1.5.36. So this is, there's one more verse by Kunti Devi. She says, Tvayi me nanya vishaya matir madupate asakrit. Asakrit. Ratim urvahadadha gangeva kamudanvati. Not exactly chanting, but let my consciousness flow towards you. But Prabhupada said the only way we can do that is by chanting. Meditation means chanting. Krishna consciousness means chanting the holy name of the Lord. And if you read 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you'll see the Maha Mantra with the chapter on meditation and thinking of me, always think of me, Marmana. So that chapter, it's the Maha Mantra is there so many times so that we know how to think of Krishna. This is the way to think of Krishna. And verse 71, we'll understand why the holy name is stressed so much in these different purports by Śrīla Prabhupāda. Yoga desham pasadya tarayanto munivata samahitatya sarvad evadapya satajita. My dear princes, in the form of a prayer, I have delineated the yoga system of chanting the holy name. All of you should take this important stotra within your minds and promise to keep it in order to become great sages. By acting silently like a great sage and by giving attention and reverence, you should practice this method. So, why is this the yoga system of the holy name? Why are these prayers? Why is he saying that? Yoga system. Isn't your deity coming over here today? Keeping him for yourself. Yes, why is this the yoga system? Yes. It's yoga for the sage. So what does it have to do with his prayers? Yes. Yoga means connection. Okay. It's the connection. Prayers are connecting us, so therefore it's yoga. And where does the holy name come in? Yes. There are many holy names. Even Krishna. Krishna is there, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. So many names are there in these prayers. Names of Krishna. Even Duraradya could be said, oh, Lord Shiva came back for his last instructions. Jai. Some flowers too. I came prepared today. All the desires I have, I can fulfill. I wanted to give him flowers. Okay, Jai. So this is the yoga of the holy name, these prayers of Lord Shiva. Connecting. Remember there was one phrase about the holy name in the prayers also. There was one Sanskrit where the holy name was indirectly mentioned, and directly by Śrīla Prabhupāda, but indirectly by Lord Shiva. Artha Nabhaya Ling something Lingaya Navase. That's it. Artha Lingaya Navase. That it's the sound in ether we hear in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, I am the sound in ether. So now we're hearing, what is that sound in ether? It's Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's the sound of Krishna in ether, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And if you're lost in the ether, you can actually find Krishna in his holy name there. I had that experience. I was lost in the ether this year, and Krishna's holy name was there in the ether. So it's actually true. I have experience that the sound in ether is Krishna's holy name. So Prabhupada says, purport, In the Hatha Yoga system, one has to practice bodily exercises, dhyana, tarana, asana, meditation, etc. One also has to sit in one place in a particular posture and concentrate his gaze on the tip of the nose. Did anybody try that? Yes, Madan Gopal must have. I think Adi Purush is a yogi also. And I know Prashanti is also. So this is what you have to do. There are so many rules and regulations of the Hatha Yoga system, it is practically impossible to perform it in this age. The alternative system of Bhakti Yoga is very easy, not only in this age, but in others as well. For this yoga system was advocated long ago by Lord Shiva when he advised the princes, the sons of Maharaj Pachanabarhishat. So yes, so this is why searching the Lord in the heart means to chant the holy name, yoga system of the holy name. The yogis, they also search for the Lord in the heart, but they have to do all these things. While they're searching, they have to practice these postures and breathing and all these things. But all we have to do is chant the holy names, and we will also find the Lord of our heart. This bhakti yoga system is not newly introduced, or even 5,000 years ago. Lord Krishna recommended this bhakti yoga as topmost yoga. So Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, Yoginam abhisarvesham magatenantaratmana shadhavam vashate yomam samayukta tamo mataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. Prabhupada says, the topmost yogi is he who constantly thinks of Krishna within himself and chants the glories of the Lord. In other words, the system of bhakti yoga has been existing from time immemorial and is now continuing in this Krishna consciousness movement. So how does it feel to be in a movement that has been started since time immemorial? And we're carrying it on from Krishna through all these great people we hear about in Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is the manifestation of the instructions of Lord Shiva right now, is this Krishna conscious movement and our discussion on his prayers. So at the end of the purport, Prabhupada gives us something that will help us make bhakti yoga very, very easy. So what is that? The end of the purport. Yes. With reverence. Adrita. That's the Sanskrit word here. Etad abhya satadrita indicate. If one takes these instructions from a spiritual master with great reverence, adrita, and practices them accordingly. So you take them and you practice. You'll find bhakti yoga process to be very, very easy. So here it says, since time immemorial, Prabhupada says. And there's a nice quote in Elevation to Krishna Consciousness. There is a quote where it says, according to Bhagavatam, there's different processes for different ages, but the principle of each process remains valid in all ages. Prabhupada says, it's not that chanting Hare Krishna is effective in this age and not in Satyayuga. In Satyayuga, meditation was the main process. Great Munis meditated for up to 60,000 years, but we cannot do that because we don't have the life. So in this age, we chant Hare Krishna. And we don't need education, you don't need previous qualification, because everybody's very slow and unfortunate. Very slow. So actually it's recommended for every age, Prabhupada said. And Prabhupada said there have been always many devotees who have chanted and reached perfection in all ages. So Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is not only in Kali Yuga, but it's, of course, in Kali Yuga, it's the only way. But in previous ages, people also chanted. Prabhupada said, that is the beauty of this Krishna conscious movement. It is not simply for one age, or one country, or one class of people. It can be chanted by any man, in any social position, in any country, in any age. For Krishna is the Supreme Lord of all people, in all social positions, in all countries, in all ages. And sometimes the Indians would criticize, why are you taking this to the Christian country? They have their Christianity. He says, Krishna is for everyone. He says, otherwise, why are these people taking to it? If Krishna is not the Lord of everyone, then why would they be attracted to Krishna? He was always pointing out, see, these American, these European, why are they attracted to Krishna? Because Krishna is for everyone. So now we have some rules for chanting. It's quite interesting because I saw a similarity between the Sanskrit here and the Sanskrit in this verse. Anyway, we can see this. This is from Hari Bhakti Vilas, and it's quoted in Bhajan Rahasya, Rules for Chanting Hare Krishna. Mana sangharanam shaucham manam mantra tachintanam avigatvam manirvedo japa sampati hetava. In order to perfect one's chanting of japa, one needs to cultivate the following qualities: control of the mind, internal and external purity, silence, contemplation of the mantra's meaning, patience, and steadfastness. So mana sangharanam, that is bringing the mind back. So here it says, repeatedly bringing the mind back when it wanders, and this is purity, or shocham. Then the next one, mantrartha chintanam, contemplating the meaning of the mantra. Silence, this is the meaning of silence. So you're always thinking of the meaning. So what's the meaning of the mantra? Yes? Hare Krishna mantra, yes. Which one? Yeah, we have so many, right? It's true. Yes. Service. Please give me service. Please engage me in your service. Yes. Please accept me as your servant. Please accept me. So silence, according to this commentary, mantrartha chintanam, contemplating the meaning. Then the next, avya gratvam, patience. Patience means, oh no, not to rush to finish your rounds. I have so many rounds, I'm going to chant really fast. So this is avya gratvam. This is the next rule, patience. No, he chanted very nicely and quietly and peacefully because it is Lord Krishna. So then the next, anirvedo, steadfastness, means don't lose hope if the results don't come quickly. So I've been chanting for 34 years. When am I going to see Krishna? When am I going to get rid of all these anarthas? So that's hope against hope. If I just keep chanting, then it will happen. So I noticed in the Sanskrit in this verse, Prabhupada in the purport talks about Munivrata. This is in the last paragraph of the purport. The word Munivrata is significant in this regard because those who are interested in advancing in spiritual life must be silent. Here Prabhupada says, silence means talking only of Krishna Katha. This is the silence of Maharaj Ambarish. Savai mana Krishna pararavinda yor vachang shivaikunta gunana varnane. King Ambarish always fixed his mind on the lotus feet of the Lord and talked of him only. We should also take this opportunity in life to become as good as a great saint simply by not talking unnecessarily with unwanted persons. We should either talk of Krishna or chant Hare Krishna undeviatingly. This is called Muni Vrata. Is there, Adipurush, is there a connection between Muni and Mauna? Yeah. Is there? Okay. So here in the Sanskrit, I think the word Mauna, no, Muni Vrata is there. Yes. There is a connection. So what's the connection between Muni and Mauna? The Muni, he's silent. Okay. So there you go. Mauna means silence. So the Muni, he has the, Muni Vrat means the vow of silence. Muni, if he's a Muni, he takes Muni Vrat, means he's taking Mauna Vrat, the vow of silence. So then again in the Sanskrit of this verse, there were the words samahita tiya, always fixed in the mind, samahita tiya. So again that reminded me of mana sangharanam in a way, mana bringing the mind back. Mana is also mentioned there. Of course, samahita could also be perhaps samadhi. It's a little similar to that word too. So here we have, right in this verse also, there are some rules for chanting in verse 71, but then it's expanded in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Purity, silence, patience, and steadfastness. If we have these qualities, it will be very easily, we will see the Lord in the heart. We will get the mercy of Lord Krishna. Verse 72. Idam maha purasmakam bhagavan visvasrikpati brigvadinam atmajanam sishikshusam sishikshitam. This prayer was first spoken to us by Lord Brahma, the master of all creators. The creators, headed by Bhrigu, were instructed in these prayers because they wanted to create. So we were discussing this at the beginning of these prayers, how at the beginning of creation, they wanted to become empowered to create. So therefore, they were instructed in these prayers. So we also want to become empowered to serve Krishna. And we also want to create too. Remember what we discussed. What are we going to create as followers of the Brahma Sampradaya? Lord Brahma, he is the original, he's the origin, original guru in our Sampradaya. He instructed these prayers originally. And what do we want to create as he creates? He has one purpose of creation also, besides creating all the gross and subtle bodies. There is another purpose of creation. Yes.
We want to create a revolution in the consciousness of the people.
That's right. You want to create a revolution in the consciousness of the people to go back to Godhead. You want to create devotion in the hearts of the people. And that is also the purpose of Lord Brahma's creation. And he was instructed to expand the creation. Expand the creation means to expand the devotees of Lord Krishna. So this is our prayer also. As we have heard these prayers of Lord Shiva, we also want to become, we pray to become empowered as all the Prajapatis became empowered. As Lord Brahma began the Sampradaya, he empowered everyone to also create devotion in the hearts of the living entities. So here again, in the purport, Prabhupada talks about evolution. Is that 72? No, that's 73. Okay, so we'll talk about that later. In 72, the purport, about seven lines down. Material creation means material engagement, but material engagements can be counteracted if we always remember our relationship with the Lord, as that relationship is described in these prayers recited by Lord Shiva. So the creators, they had to engage in material creation, so Lord Brahma advised them to chant these prayers to become empowered. So we also, we have our relationship with this material world, and if we chant these prayers, we'll understand what is our relationship within this material world, and what is our duty in relationship to the Supreme Lord Krishna. So Prabhupada says, in this way, we can remain constantly in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, despite our engagement in the creation, we cannot be deviated from the path of Krishna consciousness. This Krishna conscious movement is especially meant for this purpose. In this material world, everyone is engaged in some particular occupational duty, which is prescribed in Varnashram Dharma. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, and everyone are engaged in their occupational duty. But if one remembers his first duty, keeping in constant contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything will be successful. So our first duty, that is our first duty above all others. So what is our first duty? Please Krishna. Constant contact with Krishna. That's our first duty. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So does anybody remember in second canto, Srila Prabhupada explained, what is the first duty of a sannyasi? Yes. Write books. And one more thing.
Preach,
in a way.
Three things.
Abhayam sapa sangshuddhi, jnana yoga vavastiti. Okay, cultivation of knowledge, purification of existence, and fearlessness. There is one purport in the second canto, second chapter, and I don't know exactly which verse, but I remember the purport.
Travel and
no, he didn't say that. Anyway, but that's also a duty. Parivrajakacharya. If the Parivrajakacharya is sannyasi, he must do traveling, do that, preach. Okay, I'll tell you. It's very interesting. He said, you should hold learned discourses on the shastras. First duty of a sannyasi.
What?
Hold learned discourses on the scriptures, as the six Goswamis did in Vrindavan. They sat in Radha Damodar temple and they held learned discourses. First duty of a sannyasi, according to this purport, second canto. So, I can't remember exactly. I think it's 2-2 something. 225. Yeah, it was early there. 225. He said this is the duty, first duty of a sannyasi. So that's interesting. So our first duty, we may not be sannyasi, so we just have to keep contact with Krishna. That's all we have to worry about. Just how to remember Krishna, yes.
No, Prabhupada
no?
Very often said that these are my
Grihastha Sannyasis
and these are my
Brahmachari Sannyasis. Grihastha Sannyasis and Brahmachari Sannyasis. The principle of sannyas is body, mind, and words for Krishna. So if you're following that principle, you're a sannyasi. Body, mind, and words for Krishna. Okay, how do we keep constant contact with Krishna then? If that's our first duty.
Chanting,
worshipping, yes, everything, whatever we can do, somehow or other, yena tena prakarena, mana Krishna, somehow or other, put your mind on Krishna, whatever you're doing in the day, somehow remember Krishna. Although the modes will try and take you away, you have to keep bringing it back. So not only during japa time, but this is relevant for our whole life and for our whole day, bringing the mind back to Krishna, contemplating the meaning of the mantra. Don't lose hope. Don't rush me in the mode of passion. So these are very nice instructions by Lord Shiva and in the Hari Bhakti Vilas also. Verse 73, when all the Prajapatis were ordered to create by Lord Brahma, we chanted these prayers in praise of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and became completely free from all ignorance. Thus, we were able to create different types of living entities. So when we finish these prayers today, at the end of this class, all these students are expected to be able to create a universe. They have these objectives of the class. So everybody should have their own universe and go create. We'll send you out from here. Each can have their own universe. You'll be ready to create by the end of this class. And if you can't do that, then just at least create devotion. Yes. Yes, Prashanta.
It's interesting that in the first purport, in the fourth canto.
First purport, fourth canto.
Prabhupada said that this fourth canto is about Visarga.
Visarga, yes. It's coming at the end. Yes, direct connection. The beginning of the first canto, Prabhupada said this canto is about Visarga. So here's a connection here, right here, Visarga. That these prayers, these are the prayers that the creators got to, in order to be able to create. And last canto, we heard Lord Brahma's personal prayers for empowerment. So that was the first canto, first purport, I think she said. First 1-1. 4-1-1. So here again, in Prabhupada, in this purport, he talks about evolution. We were talking the other day. Prabhupada says, in this verse, we can understand that the various types of living entities were created simultaneously at the very beginning of the creation. The nonsensical Darwinian theory of evolution is not applicable here. It is not that intelligent human beings did not exist millions of years ago. And on the contrary, it is understood the most intelligent creature, Lord Brahma, was first created. So Prabhupada often says, Ved Vyas. He was living in, of course, maybe they could call him a caveman because he was living in a cave. But he was producing the most wonderful literatures that are still 5,000 years after people are reading. People are reading Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, all these books that he wrote in a cave. And they'll say, yes, only cavemen were there before, 5,000 years ago. But actually, they don't know what kind of civilization was there. They have no knowledge. The most intelligent. So then, near the end of paragraph, or middle of paragraph 1, thus from the beginning of creation it can be seen, the first creature is the most intelligent. It is not that so-called modern intelligence has developed with the gradual process of evolution. So-called modern intelligence means no intelligence. Prabhupada is hinting here. So-called modern intelligence. As stated in Brahma Vaivata Purana, there is a gradual evolutionary process, but it is not the body that is evolving. All the bodily forms are already there. It is the spiritual entity or spiritual spark within the body that is being promoted by the laws of nature under the supervision of superior authority. So there's the evolution. It's an evolution of consciousness. Evolution of consciousness, not of body. It's not that one body, a monkey, changes into a human being at one point, which is what Darwin says. But our consciousness evolves. And this is the purpose of Krishna consciousness movement, to evolve everyone's consciousness to a higher level. We can understand from this verse that from the very beginning of creation, different varieties of living entities are existing. It is not that some of them have become extinct. Everything is there. It is due to our lack of knowledge that we cannot see things in their proper perspective. In this verse, the word dvasta tamasa is very important, for without being free from ignorance, one cannot control the creation of different types of living entities. And then Prabhupada asks the question, how can these superior powers control the evolutionary process of living entity if they are not free from all imperfection? The followers of the Vedic instructions cannot accept the Darwinian theory of evolution, for it is marred by imperfect knowledge. So what's the flaw in the Darwinian theory of evolution? Adi? Yeah, they say there was no perfect intelligence in the beginning. Any other flaws?
It's based on the bodily concept of life.
Based on the bodily concept of life? Yes.
We don't see it happening.
We don't see it. There's no evidence.
There's
no missing link, yes. It will forever be missing. The link will always be missing because there is no link, yes. Right, it's not possible for something that's highly ordered to arise out of something which has no order. They always give the example of a house. You have the bricks, they're not going to automatically mix, the cement, the bricks, and everything. If you just keep them there for a million years, they'll never mix and become a house. They'll always be like that. So how can we believe what they say? And they say automatically, that just out of the soup, the human being evolved, or whatever, the monkey. Like that. Yes?
If anyone is interested, I have a video.
Video.
Three video presentations on this.
On Darwin.
Darwin theory, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have video presentations here.
It's exactly the same.
So we all agree.
Yeah.
Everyone agrees.
Yeah,
due to karma was in London.
Glastonbury.
The hippies, yeah. Famous. Wow, so Dutta-karma lectured on this, on evolution, or what was his lecture? Evolution. And 400 people came. They came from different cities to hear his lecture. Must have good advertising. Okay, anyway, anything else on Darwin? As I said before, I taught my son science, and I couldn't find his name in the book. I think it's already happened that people don't accept, because when I went to school, they taught us that, I know. But now my son's high school, there is no mention. I was looking in the... No mention of his name, even, yes.
The scientists
have defeated themselves because they discovered genetics. They've defeated themselves, yes. Old theories are finished, always. The old theories go out, a new one comes in. So Darwin is finished and something else is in.
It's proven impossible.
It's proven impossible. The genetic is so different between a monkey and a human being, it's not possible for a monkey to become a human being. Very good.
So
can't do that. It shows. Okay, good. One last thing. Right. Yes. Consciousness is a combination of chemicals.
Defeated them. That's how something
yes.
alive can appear from the dead matter.
Right. They haven't proved it yet. They haven't proved that life comes from matter.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll go on. Verse 74. Atheram nikita yukto japan navita pumana chirachriyapno chivasudeva parayanaha. A devotee of Lord Krishna, whose mind is always absorbed in Him, who with great attention and reverence chants this stotra, prayer, will achieve the greatest perfection of life without delay. So, more rules for chanting, attention and reverence. Don't be inattentive while chanting. Lord Shiva is saying, of course he said that at the beginning, You pay close attention to these prayers, hear with attention, because inattention is offensive. And again, he's saying the same thing. You have reverence and you have attention for these prayers. And as a result, Prabhupada, in the last sentence in the purport, we can achieve whatever benediction we want simply by becoming devotees of Lord Vasudev. So we can get what we want, everything from Krishna. But there is some qualification to achieve perfection. So what is the qualification for actually achieving perfection? Or what are some qualifications for achieving perfection? Yes? Must become a devotee, yeah, first of all, hopefully. Yes? Etavad yoga sankhagyam. Dharma. We have to remember the Lord at the time of death. Whether we're yogis or karmis or gyanis, we should always ante narayana smriti adi purusha. The mind should always be absorbed in Krishna. Yes. So Prabhupada, I have a nice sentence from a purport 3938. There's one sentence: spiritual perfection is not limited by material qualifications, but is developed by dint of one's sincere endeavor to render transcendental service. Voluntary endeavor is the only qualification for spiritual perfection. So we have to do our part too. Although, 3938. So in the next verse, Lord Shiva will again explain what is the best thing in life, the best benediction, the best achievement. Before, he asked for a benediction, and that was association of devotees. And now he's going to explain what is the highest achievement in life. Shreyasam iha sarvesham jnanam nishayasam param sukham charitutusparam jnananar yasananakam. In this material world, there are different types of achievement. But of all of them, the achievement of knowledge is considered to be the highest, because one can cross the ocean of nations only on the boat of knowledge. Otherwise, the ocean is impassable. Prabhupada says, actually, everyone is suffering within this material world due to ignorance. So yet we were hearing day after day, Bhurijan Prabhu's classes, on how we're suffering and how there's no happiness in this world. So now we're hearing why. What is the cause of all this suffering? It's ignorance. Prabhupada says, every day we see a person without knowledge commit some criminal act and is later arrested and punished, despite the fact he actually may not have been conscious of his sinful activity. So that's interesting. You commit a sin, you don't know it's wrong. So why should you be held accountable? You break the law, you didn't know it was a law. So can you tell that to the judge? If they arrest you and say, well, I didn't know I was breaking the law, will you still get arrested? Yes, you will still get arrested. So we may not know the laws of nature, but still will be punished if we break the laws. Such ignorance prevails throughout the world. People do not consider how they are risking their lives in an attempt to have illicit sex life, kill animals to satisfy their tongue, enjoy intoxication and gamble. It is very regrettable the leaders of the world do not know of the effects of these sinful activities. They are instead taking things very easily and are succeeding in making the ocean of nations wider and wider. So this is the news of this world. And instead of helping, they're making the ocean bigger. They're increasing the ocean of nations. So what are some examples of people risking their lives to have these things? Yes. But yeah, there is a show on TV. What is it called? Oh, face. Oh, yeah, I don't know that.
A tiger?
He was playing with a tiger.
Yeah.
He's treating it like a kitten.
His face.
Uh-huh.
And then at one point he got up all...
The tiger was on his back.
Yes,
yeah, bit his arm off. Just see. Risk their lives. Yeah, there's some kind of a show where they'll pay you to do crazy things. Also, my son was telling me some kind of show where, I don't know the name of it.
In Australia.
Yeah, in Australia. Who dares wins? You know that show?
Yeah, I mean, in Russia also.
You have that show. Group of tigers. Oh, tigers again.
Family tigers they kept in their house.
Oh, right? Family of tigers.
When one day,
they took them when they were small and brought them up. They were living in the house. Okay, so they ate the whole family. Ripley's, believe it or not. Yes, so there is one program where they actually pay you to do crazy things. You know, just risk your life. Risk your life. They risk their lives for a little bit of money. Yeah, but these are ordinary people.
I think we have.
You have some presentations of that. Oh, you have to give the CD. Yes? A famous fish. One fish. They like this fish very much. They like to eat. But sometimes he's poisonous. So they gamble. They risk their lives to eat fish. As Prabhupada says here. Were you going to say something? Get me out of here. Oh. People who were once famous and not famous anymore, so they pay them to do crazy things and they film them so they can be famous again. So this is what's happened. This is the news of this world. They risk their lives. Yes, stuntmen, of course, they risk their lives. But then just ordinary people, they have this show. Just ordinary people risk their lives and do something very dangerous just for very little money, something like $200 or, isn't it? Very little money. Sometimes
wrestle with crocodiles.
Jump off a building.
On
a tightrope. Yeah, they do all kinds of very dangerous, just for a little money. This is what's happening in this world. Of course, some people do it day after day after day, just for a little money. But actually, this is life. This is life in this material world. Just imagine if people could see the results of what they were doing before they did it, before they did the action. If they could see the results, would they do it? They could see by eating meat, if they could see all the lives in hell and what they would be experiencing just by eating one piece of meat. Just imagine if they could see that. Well, we're trying to enlighten them that this is a life for every life in hell for every hair on the body of a cow. So these things are happening. So that's our purpose, to turn the direction of society from down to up. Enlighten everyone. So Prabhupada, in the last paragraph, he's very fiery. This Krishna conscious movement is determined to open wide the eyes of the so-called leaders who are full of ignorance and thus save them from the many pitfalls and dangerous conditions of life. The greatest danger is the danger of getting a body lower than that of a human being. It was with great difficulty that we attained this human form of life just to take advantage of this body and reestablish our relationship with Supreme Personality of Godhead Govinda. Lord Shiva advises, however, that those who take advantage of his prayers will very soon become devotees of Lord Vasudeva and thus will be able to cross the ocean of nations and make life perfect. So very nice promise by Srila Prabhupada. If we hear these prayers, very soon we'll become devotees. If we're not already, very soon we'll become devotees. And that's what this verse also says. So my question is that Prabhupada says our movement is determined to open wide the eyes of the so-called leaders. So does anybody know any specific detail how ISKCON is actually opening the eyes of the leaders? You know? There it says leaders. Leaders of the countries. Yes. Oh, yes. Janmashtami in Parliament this year. House of Commons. House of Commons in England. And everybody came and had vegetarian prasad. So that's one example of ISKCON opening the eyes of the leaders. Any other examples? I know when Russia was there were no devotees were being persecuted. One of my god sisters, Labang Latik, she distributed a book, I think, to the president. I don't remember who the president was at that time, but he came to Delhi for some reason. I don't remember who it was at that point. And she gave him a Russian Bhagavad Gita. Somehow she slipped in with the hotel where he was and gave him a Bhagavad Gita in Russian. And so these things are happening. Yes. Who? The MPs. MPs of London came for Rath Yatra.
And they gave a main speech on the main stage. And actually this year the devotees, they had three cards. And that was, the devotees were not thinking of having three cards, but it was the MPs and police who requested three cards.
Okay.
So
the MPs, members of parliament and the police, were requesting, could you please have three cards this year instead of one? So something's happening. This is the best festival in London which combines so many cultures together. So they're appreciating. I know, I was very surprised when I went to London, I went a few years ago, and I saw so much vegetarianism. The whole supermarket, one whole section, just vegetarian cheese and this and that. It's quite amazing. I didn't see that before. So you can see changes. Changes are happening. Things are happening. Consciousness is being uplifted of the people. Okay. So here it says, knowledge is like a boat. Any other verses that support that? Knowledge is like a boat. Knowledge. Knowledge. The verse 75. Yes, Bhagavad Gita. 4. Apiche asipapebhya. Pavyanaiva vijanam santarishasi. Knowledge. Even if you're the most sinful of all sinners, if you go on the boat of transcendental knowledge, you'll cross the ocean. So, great hope for us. Krishna promises in Bhagavad Gita, even if you're the most sinful of all sinners, even if you're not one of those gyanis and munis, you just go on the boat, transcendental knowledge, and you will make it. So this is, there's another verse, 11, 26, 32. Nima jan machitam kare bhavabda paramayanam santa brahma vida shanta nardite vapsu machitam. Actually, it's not knowledge. It's devotees. Devotees of the Lord, peacefully fixed in absolute knowledge. Yes, knowledge is there. Are the ultimate shelter for those who are repeatedly rising and falling within the fearful ocean of material life. Such devotees are just like a strong boat that comes to the rescue persons who are at the point of drowning. I know some of my god sisters, they were on the point of suicide and then they got Krishna consciousness and it saved them. There was this one man, this was not one of my god brothers, he was in a car and he had his windows rolled up and he had the exhaust somehow, if you have the motor engine running, yeah, and then the gas comes in, if you close, in the garage. Yeah, so he was doing that, but he was outside somewhere. He wasn't in his garage. He was outside somewhere, and someone stuck a BTG on his window face down. And so he rolled down his window to take the BTG, rolled it back up, and he was, you know, killing himself in the process. And then he read the BTG, and then he turned off the exhaust, then he went to the temple. And so these things happened. You have any stories for us, Patri? No. Anyway, you have a story, yes.
There's one lady in
UK.
She planned to commit suicide.
Yeah.
In the same way, but the way she was planning to do it, she would buy like this tube from Hoover, sticking the exhaust in the window and close up all the windows.
She was going to sit in her car and kill herself by the exhaust.
So she was planning to do it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
4 in the afternoon. Oh, at lunchtime, her friend said, I have a book for you. Everything was set up to kill herself in the car. She got the book and gave up the idea.
She gave up the idea of killing herself, and now she's temple president in Africa.
Temple president in Africa. Okay, Patri has a story. Same, yeah. In where?
We went to establish
Namhat.
Very nice sound. And take care of you. Before I'm going to make suicide, let me eat
nicely before I kill myself.
Yes, and his name is Uncle Yura. We called him
Uncle.
Uncle, yeah.
Uncle Yura. Just the sound of the cartels is enough. I think it was, who was it, Shiva Ramaswamy also. He heard the sound of the kartals when he was in his college library. And that was it. It's the sound of the kartals. So we don't know how we can bring people to Krishna consciousness. Just some little thing. It's the boat. It's the boat of ISKCON. The boat of Krishna consciousness is there and people are coming. Yes. Oh, yeah. Matta Paratanam Nanya.
Yeah. Something is there. But after the lecture,
yes. Yeah, you missed our class. We had the potency of the glands. There was one class about what's in the glands, and Prabhupada's glands, and Krishna's glands. So yes, what is the glands of a devotee is sufficient, actually. In the words, just a second, a fraction association with a devotee is enough to put us on the path. Yeah, it's too bad. We are defeating him? I don't remember what his argument was. Yes. Oh, yeah, the fraction, yeah, right. Yes. Rupavati, yes. One last time I'll go to the temple before I finish. Oh, that's our temple, where I was. Oh, yeah, I was there, it was 77. He joined in 77. Oh, Nabhachar, Mother Shrupavati. Very good. Yeah, so this association is so important. Prabhupada says, now finally, after so much trouble, we got the human form of life. So therefore, we should use it for its correct purpose. So some people, Prabhupada's talking about the leaders, how they're so blind. Some people think science will come to our rescue. And so Swarup Damodar one time was talking with Srila Prabhupada. He said, medical science has advanced so much. Now people are, and that's all he got to say. And Prabhupada cut him off. He says, medical science has given the chance of committing sinful activities. That's all. they have abortion. They sanction abortion. The doctor and the person, they will suffer. This is the advantage of so-called medical science. Means they've given chance to commit sinful activities. That's all. So this is, Prabhupada says, next life they're all going to be animals and we're trying to keep them from becoming animals. That's the purpose of Krishna conscious movement. Says they're going to become dogs. Swarup Damodar says, well, they say they don't care about the next life, Prabhupada. The Prabhupada said, that's all right, foolishness. Just like a child playing all day, you tell him, go to school. The child says, I don't care for future. He said, that's how it is. So how can the guardians tolerate? This rascal is going to be a fool. So we're the guardians of society, so we cannot tolerate when we see the people in ignorance. So that was the compassion. Srila Prabhupada. But he didn't sit back. He was not the Muni who went up to the Himalayas or into even sitting in Vrindavan, the devotee sitting in Vrindavan. You heard his poem yesterday, very fiery poem about going out and preaching. So Prabhupada says, we cannot tolerate. The rascals, they may say, well, I don't need Krishna consciousness, but we cannot tolerate this. We have to see things are going on nicely according to the plan of Krishna. So Krishna has his plan and Prabhupada was here to make sure that plan happens. So this is a serious movement, he said. So what happens if people don't want to hear any knowledge? Then we have so many other... Prashad, Hare Krishna, yes. Yes, festivals. Rath Yatra, just like in London, just see. They appreciate now. Before the first, they were having trouble getting police permission for some of the Rath Yatras, and now the police are begging. Just see the change in consciousness. They're begging the devotees to expand the Rath Yatra. Expand it. So this is, Prabhupada said, there will come a time when they appreciate. They appreciate our movement. Verse 76. Although rendering devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and worshipping Him are very difficult, if one vibrates or simply reads this stotra prayer, composed and sung by me, he will very easily be able to invoke the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is Lord Shiva speaking. Prabhupada says in the purport, it is especially significant that Lord Shiva is a pure devotee of Lord Vasudev. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu, amongst all Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva is the topmost. Consequently, Lord Shiva has a sampradaya called Rudra Sampradaya. The present moment, those who belong to Vishnu Swami Sampradaya Vaishnavas come from Rudra, Lord Shiva. To become a devotee of Lord Krishna Vasudeva is very, very difficult. The word especially used in this connection is durāradhyam. Worship of demigods is not very difficult, but becoming a devotee of Lord Vasudeva Krishna is not so easy. However, if one adheres to the principles and follows in the footsteps of the higher authorities as advised by Lord Shiva, one can easily become a devotee of Lord Vasudeva. This is also confirmed by Prahlad Maharaj. Devotional service cannot be practiced by a mental speculator. Devotional service is a special attainment which can be acquired only by a person who has surrendered unto a pure devotee. It's confirmed by Prahlad Maharaj. Mahiyasam pararajo bishekam nishkinchananam navini tayavat. Unless one accepts the dust of lotus feet of a pure devotee who is free from all material contamination, one cannot enter into devotional service of the Lord. So this Vishnu Swami Sampradaya originated in Mayapur, according to Navadvip Mahatmya. I was reading it when I was in Mayapur this year. I was reading that book, and I happened to read this part. That in Navadvip, there's an island named Rudradvip, where 11 Rudras reside, headed by Nila Lohita Shiva. The Rudras chant Gauranga's glories and constantly dance in bliss. As the demigods watch their dancing, they become happy and shower flowers from the sky. One time, Vishuswami came there during the course of his tour to defeat opposing philosophies. He stayed the night with his followers in Rudradvip. The disciples began dancing and singing Haribol while Vishuswami recited prayers from the Shruti. Pleased by the discussions of bhakti, Lord Shiva mercifully appeared there. Upon Shiva's arrival, Vishuswami became startled. He folded his hands in prayer and recited appropriate praises. Lord Shiva spoke to him, "All of you Vaishnavas are dear to me. Your discussion on devotional service has pleased me. Ask a boon, and I will grant it. There is nothing I will not give to the Vaishnavas." So he's very pleased. So what did Vishnuswami ask? He offered dandavats, and he asked for something. Guess what he asked for? To participate in Gaura Leela? Maybe. But there's something else he asked for. It's interesting. He said, "Give this one gift, that we will perfect a sampradaya, teaching devotional service." He asked for the sampradaya from Lord Shiva. So Rudra consented and named the sampradaya after himself. So there came the Rudra sampradaya, or Vishuswami sampradaya. With the mercy of Rudra, Vishuswami stayed there and worshipped Gaurachandra with a desire to attain love of God. Then Gauranga appeared to him in a dream and said, "By Rudra's mercy, you have become my devotee. You are fortunate to attain the treasure of bhakti in Navadvip. Now go out and preach the philosophy of Shuddha Dvaita, purified monism. The time of my appearance on earth will soon come. At that time, you will appear in the form of Sri Balabhabhata. You will meet me in Puri, and you will perfect your sampradaya when you go to Mahavan." So that's the origin of the Vishuswami or Rudra sampradaya in Mayapur. In fact, a lot of the sampradayas originated there. I mean, there's about the Kumara, I believe. If you read Navadvip Mahatmya, and you'll find out about all of the acharyas, the Vishuswami, Nimbarka, they all went to Mayapur. They all got the blessings of Lord Chaitanya at some point or other in their lives to help with their sampradaya. So it's very interesting. Navadvip Mahatmya. Verse 77. "The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the dearmost objective of all auspicious benedictions. A human being who sings this song, sung by me, can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee, being fixed in the Lord's devotional service, can acquire whatever he wants from the Supreme Lord." So, what should we ask for? Sampradaya. Madan Gopal wants a sampradaya. Lord Shiva is here, you can ask. Also, Lord Shiva already has one. Maybe you could have another one, though. You have another one. Part of the Gaudiya Shiva Sampradaya. Started by Madan Gopal Prabhu. Yes, unification, okay. Parvati is asking for unification instead of separation. Yes, any other requests? What shall we ask? Vyavasaya Mikabhuti. Okay. You've got two there. Yes.
Recommendation.
What's recommendation? To who?
Krishna.
Krishna. Okay. You have to go to Radharani maybe. Yes. See the glorious spiritual nature of every living entity. It sounds more like a Buddha yogi. Yes. Tasting Namruchi. Okay, that's nice. We want Namruchi, do we? We want Namruchi. Yes, that's also, I would vote for that too. Namruchi. It's about time. Been chanting for so long. No Ruchi. Okay, Namruchi. Yes. So Prabhupada is going to tell us in the purport what we should ask for. Six lines down. But I think we all got it. Except for the service of the Supreme Lord, whatever we want is illusion, maya. So there you have it. Don't ask for anything except service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jivar Sharuphoi, Krishna Nityadas. Every living entity is an eternal servant of the Lord. Therefore, when one engages in the service of the Lord, he realizes the highest perfection of life. A faithful servant can fulfill any desire by the grace of the Master. And one who engages in transcendental loving service of the Lord has nothing to aspire for separately. All his desires are fulfilled simply by engaging constantly in the Lord's loving service. Lord Shiva shows us that any devotee can be successful simply by chanting the prayers which he has recited. So it's described here in this verse that these prayers can please the Supreme Lord. What are some other verses that support the highest perfection is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead? 1, 2, 13, yes. Atapumbi dijashista pranashama vibhashka. Sang siddhir haritoshanam. That's the highest perfection, is to please the Lord. And there's another one. Rishikesha shrishikena sevanam bhakti ruchite. Also this one, yatataror mula nishechana. It's indirectly. If you water the root, then everyone is pleased. Everyone is nourished. Right. So verse 78. A devotee who rises early in the morning and with folded hands chants these prayers sung by Lord Shiva and gives facility to others to hear them certainly becomes free from all bondage to fruitive activities. Okay? Near the end of the purport, Prabhupada says, as far as devotional service is concerned, even hearing and chanting is as good as acting with our body, mind, and senses. Actually, hearing and chanting are also activities of the senses. So those of you who can't do anything else, you can take this purport and say, just see, chanting is just the same as acting, Prabhupada says. Of course, not if you're young and healthy and can do things, you should not do that. But if you can't do anything else, then that's also... But even if you can do other things, there should at least be a time in your day when this is what you do, chanting, concentrating on the holy name, or a time in the week, or a time in the month, or a time in your life, where this should be your main focus, is chanting the holy names of the Lord. And when you get older, of course, when you hear these things, you feel good, because your body's finished. And there's not much else you can do except chant and hear. So verse 79, my dear sons of the king, the prayers which I have recited to you are meant for pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul. I advise you to recite these prayers, which are as effective as great austerities. In this way, when you are mature, your life will be successful, and you will certainly achieve all your desired objectives without fail. So there's the catch. You don't get it. First he said immediately, or very quickly, very easily, and now he's saying when you are mature. That may take time. It may take some time to mature, gradually. So then, very short purport, one sentence. If we persistently engage in devotional service, certainly all our desires will be fulfilled in due course of time. So I have one nice realization of a devotee here who's all her desires were fulfilled. And she wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada expressing appreciation, how all her desires are fulfilled. So it's a very interesting letter. I think a lot of us, if we hear the kind of life that she was leading, we would not think that this was a way to fulfill all your desires. My dear Srila Prabhupada, Please accept my most humble obeisances at your divine lotus feet. Prabhupada, this is Sladini Mataji, who's no longer with us. I know you are so busy, but this letter does not need a reply. I simply have to tell you what's happening to this land of Vrindavan. So she was living in New Vrindavan in America. So she's calling it Vrindavan now. This is in West Virginia. Through this last year, I've seen this land change before my very eyes from a regular farm to Vrindavan. It's full of touchstone and desire trees and surabi cows. Srila Prabhupada, ever since we started going self-sufficient, it grows more and more spiritual, more and more enthusiastic, and more joyful. It's not doing things so much out of mechanical regulation, but the people are so enthusiastic and spontaneous and full of love for the deities. I think this is a description of herself, from what I gathered from the book, that people, when they were around her, they would say, she's enthusiastic, she's spontaneous, and she's... So here she says, the whole land is song and dance. We cook over a wood stove now. I'm up at the women's ashram at the original farm. It's unbelievably wonderful, growing more so each day. We go out and chop wood for an hour. That sound wonderful? Chop wood. That's, you know, in freezing weather. Freezing shower. She was having a freezing 2 o'clock in the morning. Go down to outside, in you know, break the water off, the ice off of the bucket or whatever, and have your bath, cold bath. We cook over a wood stove. We go out and chop wood, churn the butter, make cheese, and mostly sew for the deities. All the activities are full of nectar, and we are actually entering into them the more we hear. The vibrations are so powerful and spiritual. We make our own soap and polish the brass with tilak. You have proven to us without a doubt the spirituality of the land, Vrindavan. This is not the material world. We have you, we have Krishna and all his devotees. Devotees are so happy, no anxiety, always enlivening one another. We work together in harmony for you and Krishna. People in the material world can't experience these feelings. That was her realization. All desires fulfilled. Here's Prabhupada's answer. She said, I don't need a reply, but he gave a reply. My dear Hladini Devi Dasi, please accept my blessings. I beg to acknowledge receipt of your letter. January 1st, 1973, have noted the contents with great pleasure. It is so nice to see how enthusiastic you are in executing this process of devotional service and how much you like your engagement there in New Vrindavan. So, you continue in this way, always thinking of Krishna, chanting 16 rounds, reading the books, and doing your daily chores all on behalf of Krishna. As your devotional service becomes mature, you shall see Krishna more and more. And more you shall realize the qualities of the holy land of Raj. So they were not living in Vrindavan, they were living in America, the holy land of Raj. This modern civilization is always artificial. You are actually learning in New Vrindavan the self-sufficient mode of living, simple living, high thinking. That is our policy. And as long as Krishna remains in the center of all these activities, you are actually in Vrindavan. The more you please the deities there with your service, the more they shall reciprocate by bestowing upon you love for Sri Sri Radha Krishna. So I'm always looking forward to coming back to New Vrindavan. I remember very fondly the sandesh, milk, and other nice products the devotees are preparing there. Thank you very much. So one thing I read in this book, there was a contest one time about who could make the best burfi for Srila Prabhupada. Whoever got to win the contest would make it for Prabhupada. So all the devotees, some of them were studying hours, cookbooks, and they were trying, they were buying special pots, and they were trying different recipes just to perfect. There was one brahmachari in particular, I think, but they didn't mention his name. So the Kladini was also doing it, but she wasn't doing anything. Her method was to put the pot of milk on, then go dress the deities, and then come back and scrape it a little bit and take it out. Keep it an hour and a half on the stove. And then when she came back, she would scrape the bottom, and sometimes there would be little burnt particles, and then she would offer it. But she always was winning the contest somehow or other, and these brahmachari, you know, they were saying, what's her secret? So then they were trying to find out, you know, and she would just tell them, no problem, you can come and see. So they came, and they were watching. So she would put it on the stove, and she went to dress the deities for an hour and a half. Then she came back and she would feel a little embarrassed because there was sometimes little burnt parts on the bun, and she would just scrape it out and it would be done. So that was, and they were just amazed. You know, just some old pot because she didn't have some proper utensils. So actually the ingredient is devotion. It's not exactly how you do it. It's not the technique. It's not the recipe. It's not the mechanical thing. It's the devotion that you put in it. Of course, she wasn't even watching it, but somehow or other, she won the contest, and she got to make the burfi for Srila Prabhupada. So this is bhakti. We can't understand. It's causeless. We can't understand bhakti. We try to figure it out with our intelligence and our mind. There's no way we can understand bhakti. It's something that happens as you mature in devotional service. So if we say these prayers of Lord Shiva, then he's promising us we can get bhakti and we can get the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So we'll stop here today. Any questions or comments on these verses of Lord Shiva? Okay, so all glories to Srila Prabhupada. And next week we'll start chapter 30 about the Prachetas. We're continuing about the Prachetas and their life and activities. What happens after they get the prayers from Lord Shiva? What will they do next? And that would be Vidura's question also. What happened? What did they achieve in this life? Jai.